fresh from a bar where my friend is celebrating his 24th birthday. We've just got back in time to do the show. So my friend, it's his birthday. In fact, it was his birthday in January. So he's having a birthday party tonight in the centre of Manchester. So I've been for a couple of hours. I got a taxi at 9:15, got back to the studios here, doing the show, going back. Not missing out on the party. There's a party to be had. I'm going to it. Good evening, all. I'm Stephanie Hurst, and this is BBC Radio Manchester's Nothing But the 90s, the show that celebrates that decadent decade, the 1990s. God love it.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, innovative solutions for creative radio people.
And God love her too. Yes, she's back. Stephanie Hurst on the BBC station in Manchester. She'll be telling us how she's getting on in this podcast from radiotoday.co.uk. So thanks for finding us. I'm Trevor Dan. David Lloyd's here as ever with Radio Moments. We'll have the latest radio news from Stuart Clarkson. And we'll hear more about the soon-to-be-rebranded XS Manchester from its station director, the former Bauer Radio exec, Andy McPherson.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
So Stephanie Hurst is back on the air. She's doing Nothing But the 90s for BBC Manchester. And she's on the line to the Radio Today programme now. Steph, how are you?
I am very good, and it's always a pleasure to be speaking to the legendary Trevor Dan.
Well, that's very kind of you, and that's entirely the endorsement I was looking for. No, seriously, so you've followed what's now become quite an established path, haven't you, from commercial radio into BBC local radio. And we had on the podcast a couple of weeks ago with Stuart, Mike Sweeney, who's doing a daily show for Manchester. How's that experience for you, just that move from commercial into the BBC? How have you adapted?
I think I had loads of excitement to start with, because I thought, this is brand new, because I knew commercial radio so well. I knew it inside out. I knew how the machine worked. But the BBC is a very different animal, as we all know. So I just thought, well, this is really exciting, because I can learn a new skill set here. And I've been so blessed by the people at BBC Radio Manchester, especially Sweeney as well. Sweeney took me under his wing, and he looked after me in the first few months of being there. Any questions that I had, anything, he really did look after me. And Kate Squire and Chris Brindley as well, Kate the editor and Chris the assistant, have just been wonderful. In fact, the entire team at BBC Manchester are just wonderful. And they allow me to do the show on a Saturday night, and I get to pick the music, which is wonderful, which is a rarity. And in commercial radio, you don't get to do that, as we all know.
Absolutely.
So I do get to schedule the show, and I enjoy scheduling the show. I enjoy taking the listener on a journey.
And for anybody who thinks that it's not the old Hursty, listening to it, I mean, I'm not in Manchester, but I hear it online, it's Hursty.
Yeah, there was a bit on Saturday night, actually. And I was just messing about. In fact, I will send you the clip, which you can possibly edit in here. Anyway, thank you to Liz Soul, by the way, who's just gone home. I don't know whether she's listening in the car or whatever, but she gave me a cream egg earlier. So I'm having a cream egg and a cup of tea. And I'm playing 90s. Do you know what? No matter what, I'm in my comfort zone. Punch. Sorry. Crowbar that in, didn't I? Sorry, I'm just playing around with this multi-million pound toy I've got, which is called a radio station. Boyzone, and no matter what, on BBC Radio Manchester's Nothing But the 90s. No matter what they tell. It was a little bit of the old kind of me, just being me, just pissing about with it a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what I like about this show is that, and this is almost a technical point, but you have found your new voice without losing your old voice.
Yeah.
I don't just mean that in terms of, you know, any kind of procedures you may have had, but the you know, it's a very confident performance.
I've always said this, that the voice has been the hardest thing, because the skill set hasn't changed. My knowledge hasn't changed of understanding the audience and the technical side of it as well. All that is still there, but what I heard back in my headphones was completely different. And as a broadcaster and other broadcasters that are listening to this, when you come off the back of a song, you hear your voice cut through in a certain way, and it just didn't anymore. It had lost the I don't know, it lost the oomph and it was different. So I had to learn how to do this differently. And that's why I'd kind of, in some respects, like being tucked away on a Saturday night at 10 o'clock. And it's because I didn't want to do the first thing I did. And I think I said this at the time. I didn't want to do something coming back, all bells and whistles, being back on breakfast. I wanted to kind of just kind of get back into it a little bit, but baby steps, because I had to find my voice. And that has been the hardest thing. The way you talk, the way you cough, the way you sneeze, the way you breathe, the way you laugh, everything had to change.
And have you had to make any changes to the settings that you would naturally use? You know, the EQ on the mic and all that stuff?
I just rolled off the bass a little bit. But the thing is, at Manchester, and the mic settings are set for speech.
Yeah, and they're pretty fixed, aren't they, as well, on local radio desks? Yeah.
They are. And it has been kind of quite frustrating because I do get a little bit of distortion sometimes, but I can't change them. And I was very, very, very lucky where I've been in commercial radio, where we almost fascinate and are transfixed over mic processing settings. We have to make it sound the best it possibly ever can. Whereas in BBC local radio, it's speech driven. So you have one setting and one setting, that's it. And you don't need it to cut through on the back of a track, do you? Whereas in commercial, you really do.
One thing I was thinking as I was listening to the show, BBC Manchester has got those desks that you can stand up at or sit down. Which setting do you use?
I'm on sitting down. I've always sat down. I did go through a period at Galaxy and Capital. We had quite high desks. They were waist high, so we had draftsman's chairs. So I did. It varied. If I was quite tired, I'd stand up and kind of not jump around, as in being over energetic and over excited. I'd just jump around to kind of just get some blood flowing through my body. But I kind of like to sit down. I like the desk quite low. I like the chair kind of high. So I'm in command of the machine, and they're Studer desks. We're going to get geeky now on this, aren't we? They're Studer desks, and they're the there's VCS playout system, which is the network. They're network spec studios, so the same as Radio 1's got. And of course, BBC Six Music, which is over the other side in the other building that Mark Radcliffe does a show from as well. So they're pretty network spec studios.
How is it now for you in your new life as a woman, talking with other people? Do you find people say referring to you as a male and you have to correct them? Or are people embarrassed sometimes? Do they say, oh, hello, Simon? And you go, no, I'm Steph now. Or has that all gone away?
It's all gone away. I don't get it at all. Nothing at all. No one gets anything wrong
anymore.
That's
really reassuring, isn't it?
About the
way that, you know, human beings behave and adapt.
Yeah. I think we all kind of adapt to people that are around us. And I think to start with, when I first transitioned, everyone was a little bit like, maybe on eggshells a little bit, going, oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Am I going to refer to her as a correct gender and blah, blah, blah. And I always said, look, it doesn't matter if you get it wrong. There are people that have known me in the industry for 20 odd years, people that have been around me all my life. And we can get things wrong because you can sometimes be so relaxed. You say my old pronoun, for instance, and it's only because you're relaxed. But people have just, I don't know, it just never happens anymore. But I did say at the start, I did say that if anyone's still getting it wrong in 2 years, I'm going to put a pair of pointy heels on and kick them in the shins.
Now, you're doing a show, or there is a programme about you, is there not, on BBC local television in the Northwest this week. And I just wonder to what extent the transgender issue is becoming what you're about rather than broadcasting, which is what you're about.
Is it defining me? No, I don't think it is defining me, because there's other stuff coming in which has got nothing to do with trans. But I do realise, and I kind of think I probably said this at the time as well, it might be a byproduct of me coming out publicly that I may end up being I would say, short-lived poster girl for the transgender community, because eventually this will stop becoming news. And that's what we want. It doesn't need to be news anymore. But of course, the film I've made for Inside Out, which is on BBC Northwest tonight, and then it's on the BBC, it's on nationally on the BBC News Channel. And I'm starting to do the pay-per-view on there as well. So, so there's, which has got nothing to do with being trans at all. So it's there's but I knew in the first couple of years everything would be kind of around trans. But the 90s show, I don't think I've mentioned it once at all. I just don't, you know, if I need to, I will. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm very open about it. But you know, if it doesn't need to be mentioned, it doesn't need to be mentioned. I'm just a female broadcaster. That happens to be a bit of a geek as well.
Now, one of the things that happens when you stop doing a daily show is that you have a lot more time to listen to other people on the radio. I wonder what you think of, you know, the radio. I mean, what are you listening to? What are you particularly enjoying these days?
I got frustrated with commercial radio a few years ago because I didn't feel like it was teaching me anything. I didn't feel like I was, and this is while I was still working in commercial, it wasn't giving me anything. It was just becoming a hit machine that was just pumping out another 15 great songs in a row. And I felt like I needed content. I needed to be educated. So I very much flick around speech stations. I'll listen to Radio 4, listen to 5 Live, listen to lots of BBC Local. I listen to Radio Manchester a hell of a lot because I work there and I need to understand the radio station. I need to know what's going on. I need to be able to reflect back if I do. I need to talk about something I can do. I just don't want to be one person that just pops up on a weekend and I don't listen to the station at all. So I've buried myself in a lot of speech, actually, speech radio. I listen to LBC still as well, which I always did do before. Whereas commercial just doesn't seem to give me that content. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess the new D2 with the new talk radio and so on, there might be a few more speech formats creeping into British radio. But it's curious, isn't it? I mean, it must be an advertising-driven decision. There must be very clever people in commercial radio who say, do you know what, we can't support a speech format. And several have been tried, haven't they? And they've failed. But it does, when you go to America, which I just did, and you hear so much speech radio, you think, what is the dysfunction here? Why can they afford it and we apparently can't?
Yeah, I think, you know, good broadcasters cost money, don't they? That's the problem. They cost, great broadcasters cost money, and we try, especially commercial, we try and do something as cheaply as possible. So I think that's one of the probably the reasons why we don't do as much speech radio as the Americans do.
I think that is an argument, but on the other hand, commercial radio doesn't pay any of its broadcasters all that much.
No, not
does it?
Really. I mean, I was quite lucky that I got in on Breakfast towards the back end of the kind of glory days where you did get something half decent as a wage. I mean, when I first started, I was earning £5 doing tech op shifts at Radio Air. Then I was doing overnights, I think, for £25. And then eventually just worked up the ladder. But I wasn't on mega, mega, mega books because I always realised that if I took too much money out of the pot, we wouldn't be able to get other things. We wouldn't be able to afford OBs and all sorts of other stuff like that. So if I really did rinse it myself, being selfish, the show would suffer.
But you had enough to buy a few houses.
Yes. Well, I was just savvy because I saw a lot of my radio heroes who I grew up with very little. And I just thought I never took drugs. I never stuck any of it up my nose. I never did anything like that. I just took some really, really, really sound advice from a lot of older friends who just said, look, invest it. So I did. I did invest it. And I bought quite a few terraced houses and stuff in my hometown of Barnsley because I know the area and stuff. But I won't get that return until I'm 60. Because I won't sell them. So it's a kind of pension for me. So it means I end up with at least something. But of course, I need to work. You know, I'm a broadcaster and I do need to work. But I don't know if I want to go back to doing full-time radio just yet. I'm enjoying just doing one show a week at the moment. And I don't know whether the show exists that I want to do. If I want to do an entertainment music show again, if it was on commercial, I don't think that arena exists for me anymore, to be fair. I don't think there's a broadcaster that would allow me to do what I do. I'm not sure.
I was wondering whether the world of online might beckon. You know, we call them podcasts right now. Maybe we won't in the future. But the idea that the only way Stephanie Hirst can reach her audience is via an organisation owned by the BBC or a transmitter owned by Global or Bauer, that is beginning to feel a bit 20th century,
isn't it?
It
is, actually. And you especially see with Radio X, how big Chris has been with the app and online. The numbers are crazy. And I know we've been looking at the Radio figures, and they've only been able to look at the London audience with Radio X. But if you pulled all the online listens and all the app listens in there, it would be stratospheric. It'd just be huge. So I think there is definitely a generation of radio listeners now that just don't even own a radio. It's all very much through your phone. And, as you know, 4G signals and signals are going to get better, and phones get faster, and networks can actually cope with the infrastructure. I think that's the way radio is going to go. I think it's very much going to be online.
You mentioned Moylesey. Did you see the interview with Miranda Sawyer in The Observer at the weekend, where you got a mention?
Yeah, I did. Chris held my hand through the transition, along with a lot of friends, a lot of close friends. But Chris was there for me from the start. And if I was getting anything wrong, he would tell me and be completely honest with me. And that's what I needed, total truth and honesty. And he was there.
He's done well at X, Steph, don't you think? I mean, that's a hard job, kind of reinventing yourself when you've been so big and you've gone away and you come back and your audience is much smaller. I guess that's something that the two of you as old friends might have talked about, because that's something you've got in common.
Yeah, I think as soon as I came off the air, when did I finish the air on the air? It was June 2014, and went off to LA with Chris. And I was out there with him for quite a few weeks. And then the year after, we went back out to LA again and spent loads of time talking, as we always do, about stuff. And now he's come back on the air. You get what I've always got. You get the real Chris now on the air quite a lot. You get a lot more of how he actually is off the air, which I think is lovely, because he's such a sweet human being. And, you still get a little bit, because he refers to new Chris and old Chris, doesn't he, on the air a little bit?
Yeah.
So you do get a little bit of the old Chris, which we all kind of like that. You know, you need that little bit of that, I don't know, that bit of oomph that he had before, that bite. But he's a great broadcaster. And for us, for our generation, my generation, he's the best of us for our generation, I think. You know, us like myself, I'm not putting myself in his category at all. But the broadcasters from my generation, like your J.K. Joels, Chris, Mills, all those people, for our generation, I think he possibly is the best of us.
Where's the next generation coming from, Steph? Do you hear them anywhere, 25-year-olds
on
the radio?
Yeah, I do. I think Bauer are really good at this, actually, because they have their place three, don't they, which is the old hits. And they're really allowing new talent to come through and learn and progress. And people like Mike Cass, he nurtures talent. And I think it's really good. So I hear, like we used to have the old overnights, they have a national radio station to play with pretty much, don't they? So I think that's really good. And I do hear new talent coming through. And I think it is hopeful. We're getting there, because we did have that period where we didn't have that space for people to grow. So we almost have a missing generation of breakfast DJs, because what you would do, you'd start off overnights, you'd then end up maybe on mids or drive and then work your way to breakfast if that's what your career path was. But sometimes you found that broadcasters were just ending up on drive, not being very good, and they'd not done their apprentice overnight, as we all did, you know, talking to bloody couple of truckers and a couple of sheep and getting things wrong and calling bands Rio Speedwagon instead of REO Speedwagon and making all those mistakes that you would do on overnights, where you can be afforded that arena. But I feel like there's possibly from the ages of probably late 20s to mid late 30s, there is a generation missing of great broadcasters, because we didn't as an industry nurture them.
Okay, Steph, so you said to me a few minutes ago that you weren't sure that you wanted to go back to doing a daily show. I'm going to say on behalf of your fans that we don't believe you. So what is the state of play with that? I know that for a long while you were under contract to Global, even though you weren't working for them. Where are you now with that?
I'm a free agent. I can do whatever I want, when I want. And I decided that I've never been free, ever. I've always been tied to a broadcaster. I've never, and you know what it's like when you're tied to a broadcaster. You can have an idea that you want to go and do something which is out of the TSA, but there's always internal wranglings and politics, and no, you can't go and do something for them, even though it's outside the TSA. And you feel owned, and I felt owned all my career prior to working for Global, Chrysalis, whoever, EMAP. You just feel owned by a broadcaster. For the first time in my entire life, I am owned by nobody. And that's quite liberating, actually. So I think I'm going to spend probably the next year just doing lots of bits. And I'm enjoying it. I'm doing more television than I've ever done. And I mean, I feel 16 again. I feel like I'm just learning about the art of television and how the machine works. Now you bolt it all together. And I love that, because I loved bolting radio together and knitting it together like a pullover.
Well, don't disappear to the dark side, Steph. We need you back on the radio.
Thank you. Of course I'll come back. I love radio. It's what I've always done, and it's such a beautiful, intimate medium. I'm sat in front of my mic now, my lovely Neumann U47. And a U87, should I say. I wish I could afford a U47. I looked on eBay, they're about $4,000. But I sit in front of this thing and I'm so relaxed. It's my natural environment. But at the minute, I'm just enjoying just not having to be owned by anybody. And I like that. It's liberating, actually.
Well, it's been really generous of you to talk to us. And I'm sure a lot of people listening to this will be really happy to hear you sounding so confident. And your show is on Saturday nights. Obviously, it's on the iPlayer sort of forever, isn't it? Nothing but the 90s. What time does it go out live?
It goes out live on 10 till midnight. And it's so interesting that I've seen this show grow, because I've seen the text machine go from virtually no text to loads of texts and loads of social media stuff coming in. And it's really starting to gather some momentum, because this is the decade that started, 26 years ago. And there's a bit of distance between us and the 90s now. And I'm starting to find songs that you just never hear. Great songs that were hits, that were number one, that you just, the radio just doesn't play. And it's nice to be able to play them. And I think what Kate's done with the weekends at BBC Radio Manchester, you have Sweeney's 60s, Jason Hardy with the 70s, and Clint Boone with the 80s.
Somebody said to me that BBC Radio Manchester listeners can forgive you being trans, but they can't forgive you being from Barnsley.
Yeah, that's the
thing. Is there any truth in that?
Yeah, I'm from the... Do you know, I don't know, actually. I've not heard it, but yeah. Yeah, I'm from the other side of Pennines, aren't I? I can't help it. But I love Manchester, and I've always loved Manchester. And you know, I think when the first time I ever really had when I had a night out as my true self, it was on Canal Street. It was in Manchester. So I do have some kind of connection and affinity with the city. I do love Manchester. It's a great city. But like many, many, many cities, the one-way system and the roads just frustrate me, and the M62 does me head in, and the Woodhead Pass just get frustrated with it. But
that is a subject for another day.
It is. It is.
Stephanie Hurst, thank you so much for coming on the Radio Today programme. It's always great to hear from you. Hope to catch up with you soon.
Likewise.
Good luck with your new show anything else that comes your way.
Yeah, I'm just enjoying having the time out, but I will do something. I'll do something again, which will be silly.
Thank you, Steph.
Thanks,
it's
Trevor.
The Radio Today programme. Let's have this week's news now with Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Trevor. Lots going on this week. Big changes at Capital. Network daytime presenter Pandora is leaving at the end of March to join rival KISS, where she'll take over mid-mornings from Niamh, who's off to have a baby. Pandora started out on the promo team at Heart, did the breakfast show on community station Westside Radio before joining Choice FM and then on to Capital. Meanwhile, Global Executive President and founder Ashley Tabor is taking day-to-day charge of programming Capital as Richard Park relinquishes that role but remains as Executive Director and Group Director of Broadcasting at Leicester Square. Changes at Global's Smooth brand this week as well, as Classic FM's Sam Jackson is named as the new managing editor for Smooth as well as Classic. He'll take over from Dick Stone, who switches back to being in charge of Capital East Midlands, as well as being the regional group PD for the Smooth network. Manchester station Real Radio XS, originally called 106.1 Rock Radio, is changing name again. Owners Communicore are rebadging it as XS Manchester. The former XFM presenter Justine Lee Collins returns to the air to do two weekend shows on the station. The Welsh group Town and Country Broadcasting has a new name, Nation Broadcasting. Its stations have all got new style logos as well, and one of them, Nation Hits, is reverting to its original name, Swansea Bay Radio, after 4 years. and the hospital radio sector has paid tribute to a long-serving member who's died in tragic circumstances this week. 63-year-old Paul Wilmot volunteered for York Hospital Radio for 44 years and was the station's technical officer. He lost his life, sadly, after a suspected gas explosion that wrecked his house in Hexby near York last Friday. Don't forget, you can get all the latest industry news on the hour every hour on our new internet station, InRadio, at inrad.io. That's the latest from radiotoday.co.uk. I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Thank you, Stuart. Let's get more detail now on that XS Radio story. Its launch director, Andy McPherson, has been telling Roy Martin more about it.
It's an evolution of the station, so we're not looking at a massive format flip. We are adding more things into the mix that we think will be enjoyed by even more people. So the XS name has certainly a level of familiarity and awareness in the market, so there was no point in getting rid of that. However, we're moving on from the real days, and that doesn't kind of have any connection to obviously any of our other brands anymore. So just simplifying it. And also, you know, I think putting Manchester in the title says that that's what we're about, and that Manchester will become another important part of the station, more important than it has been up to this point.
Do you see XS growing to other places?
Well, I think that's always a possibility, but certainly all the work done so far is to go, we've got this strong FM frequency for Greater Manchester, so let's put together the best product and the best station we can for that market.
Let's get technical now. Will the live programs, how many live programs will you have a day? The new logo I see today?
New logo, new brand promise or positioner. The live shows will certainly be increased, and obviously we have no network content at all. So all of our programming is from our studios in Salford Keys, and you know, we will, I think, tweak the number of live versus pre-recorded hours, but it's all from our studios, it's all for Manchester. We are bringing more people on board, so there will be more live hours and more new programs than the station has seen before.
So tell us about those new shows.
Steve Berry's The Breakfast Show, that continues. However, we will have a new drive time show, which is with a woman called Sophie Svensson, who is fantastic new talent and someone that I've been aware of for a while, but we're able to bring her on board full time. And so, as I say, that's a new addition to Drive Time. And then the back end of Drive Time, so 6 till 7 p.m. Monday to Friday, is going to be the XS Legends Football Social. And this borrows, I guess, from a format that we know works well, did fantastically well in the old days of Century. We are also bringing in a little bit of comedy. So Justin Lee Collins is going to do a Sunday show for us. And he's also going to do a music-driven Friday evening show. So he's someone that that we think kind of fits the ethos of the brand well, and the brand promise, which is let the good times roll. And what we want to do with that is bring it to life in terms of the music we play, in terms of the types of shows that we have on air. So Justin feels like a really good fit in terms of those two shows a week as well.
Sounds good. So the new slogan is let the good times roll.
That's it, exactly it, yeah. We are a very 70s-centered classic rock position. We've just conducted what I think is the biggest rock music landscape auditorium survey in at least the past 10 years. So really looking at what the demand is for rock music across the spectrum. And what the outcome of that is that actually there's a much broader umbrella of rock that that we can play with. So so some of the things that we can expect to add into the mix are certainly a little more Britpop, a bit more, well, in fact, we haven't been playing any Oasis or anything really from the 90s. So so the music proposition is going to be a broader church of rock. And again, if we think about a 35-year-old now, 20 years ago when they were 15 and into music was 96, which is, you know, What's the Story, Morning Glory Time, etc. And I think what we've seen really clearly from the research is that actually we can take a broader approach to what kind of classic rock means in the broadest sense. And as a result, our output is going to, our music output is going to mirror that a lot more.
Andy McPherson with Roy Martin on the new online station for radio people, In Radio. David Lloyd after this.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk. Radio Moments,
David Lloyd. When Johnny Walker rebelled on board Radio Caroline as the anti-pirate legislation was introduced,
Caroline continues.
Little did he know that just a couple of years later, this week in 1969, he'd be doing his first show on Radio 1.
To those of you maybe who never heard me before, if I can introduce myself, I'm Mrs. Walker's number three little boy, called Wonnie, and it was definitely third time unlucky for Mr. and Mrs. Walker when I came along. Anyway, let's get on now with some music. What is the station called?
Radio 1, we're together.
Together you and I now with the sounds of one Miss Sharon Tandy and the fleur-de-lis and that evil woman.
Johnny Walker's debut on Radio 1 this week, 47 years ago. The first national broadcast of farm prices was aired this week, 91 years ago, prepared by the Ministry of Agriculture, and thus began the roots for what became Farming Today and On Your Farm.
We were broadcasting technical talks, how to grow potatoes, how to plough up rough grassland.
Farmers and other early risers, listen to Farming Today.
And farm prices, of course, even appeared later on commercial radio, for example, on the launch hour of County Sound.
Some other things that we'll be doing is to be giving farmers relevant information at 6:15 every weekday morning. And this morning, Hugh Kroll is in the studio. What do you got for us today, Hugh?
Well, Bob, today the one or two items which I think will be of interest. There is a beef cow suckler scheme which has been introduced by the EC.
Commercial radio did stuff like that back then. I remember Radio Trent had farm prices too, and they were read by people like Anne-Marie Minhall, now with Classic FM, and Chris Burns too, now high up at the BBC. 12 years ago this week meant the end of a radio institution.
John Kerry, who since the campaign's beginning has sounded an odd and lonely boast, George Bush must be driven from the White House, and I'm the man to do it.
The last words on the last Letter from America with Alastair Cook. He hosted that feature for 58 years, 2,869 programmes. 34 years ago this week, commercial radio arrived in Inverness.
Hello, I'm Dave Cochran. I'll be here every morning, Monday to Friday, for the breakfast show. And it's really great to have you along on Murray Firth Radio, and the message in Barbara Dixon's record really sums it all up for today and for the rest of your life on Murray Firth Radio. Take good care.
Yes, a logical choice of song long before Simply the Best by Tina Turner had been released. The launch of Murray Firth Radio this week in 1982. And are we allowed to play our favourite Murray Firth clip, the 100-year-old interviewee?
How do you feel this morning? Now that you're 100, how do you feel? How do you feel this morning? You're 100 today. You're looking very well. Are you keeping fine?
One of the many great interviews with centenarians on British radio over the years. Have we got time for another quick one?
And you used to live as a very young girl in Chedderston.
I did.
When it was probably all fields.
Yes.
No more. Now, this week in 1975, MPs voted at last to allow Commons proceedings on radio.
We won't, of course, be able to join them immediately because, first of all, we have prayers. That takes up normally 2 or 3 minutes, and prayers is a sacrosanct matter in which we're not allowed to join. We can merely wait for them all to finish, and after that, as soon as they have finished, our man Ed Boyle will be scrambling into the chamber and getting into a rather tiny cubicle that's in there. I now hear from our studio. We can go over to the Commons. So over to you, Ed Boyle, if you're there.
The LBC end of the early Commons broadcast this week, 41 years ago.
If the Honourable Gentleman really thinks that what happened last week
represented an election victory for his own party, I think he may have misunderstood the results.
Some things never change. This week, 45 years ago, BBC local radio came to what was to be Humberside.
I am at present with the Lord Mayor of Hull, Alderman Colonel R.A. Alex Smith, in the Lord Mayor's parlour in the Guild Hall.
I am very happy to wish Radio Humberside and all connected with it the best of good fortune.
Do you know, thinking about it, those were the days when the BBC was allowed to lie to us. Let's just listen to that again.
In the Lord Mayor's parlour in the Guild Hall.
I am very happy to wish Radio...
That's clearly an edit, isn't it? In the days when the BBC was allowed to use some poetic licence. Now, the official launch for that station was this week in 71, but it had actually gone on air earlier.
The upshot of it all was that the power was going off. All this was happening, and we thought, well, we can't sit by and let the people of Humberside sit in darkness. So I remember very distinctly we decided we would come on air early, which we did by several, well, I think it was about a couple of months.
This is BBC Radio Humberside on Rediffusion Channel B with a special news and information service.
The premature birth of BBC Radio Humberside. So with Mark Goodyear hosting his first Top 40 this week 28 years ago.
Comes the complete rundown of the brand new UK Top 40.
Liz Forgan resigning over plans to move BBC Radio headquarters 20 years ago.
In fact, over quite a long time, the Radio 1 audiences had been gradually drifting downwards and gradually drifting older.
The end of the pirate Britain Radio 39 years ago. Britain Radio! The last Sue McGregor Radio 4 Today programme 14 years ago.
It was dinned into you that you weren't the important person in an interview, is the person you were talking to.
And the death of Chris Rainbow this week last year.
Summer Radio on the Peter Powell Show.
Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Stephanie Hurst, Andy McPherson, Roy Martin and Stuart Clarkson. Our researcher is Hayley Hayes. I'm Trevor Dan. This is a TDC production. Thanks for listening. Join us next time if you can.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.